Now, voting has been largely peaceful across Nema, Mamubi, Kanda and surrounding communities as residents of the Ayawaso East constituency go to the polls to elect a new member of parliament following the death of the NDC's Nasarawa Tuari Mahama in January. Nearly 50,000 registered voters are expected to cast their ballots at 113 polling stations. While the exercise has so far been calm, turnout appears relatively low in several centres amid a heavy police presence across parts of the constituency. We have full coverage of our team on the ground and we begin with Jacqueline Asomayebwa. So, Jacqueline, reports suggest a strong police presence in parts of the constituency. What have you also observed?
Well, Hannah, so on the ground, there's indeed a noticeable security presence, particularly around key police stations and the collection centres. Oh, the police officers are stationed at these areas, and in some areas, you can see the patrol teams moving around. But however, the atmosphere so far is generally calm, and the presence, I mean, it depicts that there's nothing happening so far. But then, we've spoken to some of the police officers here off camera, and they suggest that this time around, they've really beefed up security to ensure peace and calm in the area.
And as we earlier said, turnout appears to be low in some areas. What factors could be influencing the voter participation?
With some engagements that we had earlier with some of the constituents and voters here, it suggested that it's because they are fasting. So some of them might be resting at this point. And also, we had one person that we spoke to earlier on my side, and my colleague Stephen engaging a couple of others, who said that when it comes to this voting, especially on today, some of them, they're already headed to work. So unless they close, and it means they might not even be able to cast their ballot, because by the time they close from work, polls might have closed by then.
Thank you very much, Jacqueline Asomayebwa, who will be bringing us more updates. Let's go to Gemma Appiah now. So, Gemma, have there been any delays or challenges at the polling stations that you have visited? Hello, Gemma.
Hello, Hannah.
Kindly come to the phone. We can barely hear you. Reposition, and then we'll go back to Gemma there. Stephen Menza is also there, and he has been speaking to the National Peace Council. Let's hear from Koku. We will go back to that sound, and we have been at Ayawaso where the elections are ongoing, and we will speak to Stephen, who is on the ground, and we have also been speaking to Koku, who is with the National Peace Council, and he is going to talk about a lot of the happenings that he has observed, party candidates, agents, and what they've been saying about the elections. Let's hear from him. We will try and go back to Gemma. Well, Gemma is on the line now. We hope you have a better connection to Gemma. Gemma, are you there? Have there been any challenges so far where you have visited? Unfortunately, Gemma's line seems to be a bit... We will try again with Gemma. Well, let's move on to other stories, and when we get them, we'll get back. Well, government of Ghana has announced plans to begin issuance of domestic bonds 3 years after restrictions for fresh debts due to the domestic debt exchange program. The finance ministry says the expiration of the restrictions paves the way for it to reduce its dependence on treasury bills to finance its budget and also allow for the issuance of new, longer-dated domestic bonds. Technical advisor to the finance minister, Dr. Thewi Champon, told Joy News on PM Express that this would allow the government to obtain fresh capital for infrastructure expenditure.
Now that the road is almost clear with the post-DDEP, the domestic debt exchange, you can go back to the capital market. You are looking at how you can borrow less from the short end of the market, so less T-bills, and rather now do more medium to long-term instruments.
Well, let's ask, is the government prepared for this? Professor of Finance at the University of Ghana Business School says the aggressive intervention of the Bank of Ghana in the forex markets, coupled with other factors, afforded government the room to make this decision. He spoke on SBS.
There was increase in terrorization in terms of mopping up of excess liquidity from the system, and then also the intervention, even though Bank of Ghana would prefer that we call it intermediation, by injecting billions of dollars into the economy, caused the strengthening of the local currency. So in terms of our exposure, market to market of external debt, our total debt in CD terms came down significantly. Now, the result of all of that is that they had been preparing for an entry into the bond market.
We had there a professor of finance at the University of Ghana Business School. Now, it was a solemn and sorrowful moment as families of Ghanaian tomato vendors and transporters who were killed in Burkina Faso a fortnight ago observed the final funeral rites of the victims. Their traders were part of at least 20 people who were killed weeks ago in the northern part of Tiato in attacks claimed by JNIM, an Islamic military group linked to Al-Qaeda. The traditional ceremony held without the mortal remains of the victims who were burnt beyond recognition were a reminder of the urgent need for the country to institute measures to revamp the local tomato industry. Emmanuel Bright Kweku reports.
Comfort is still in disbelief over the sudden passing of her husband. Grief fills her heart as the man who catered for her and their children left without a final goodbye.
I don't have any other helper. My husband used to fend for myself and the children. Now that he is no more, I don't know how I'm going to cater for the children.
On Saturday, 14th February 2026, unknown gunmen killed at least 20 individuals, including 8 Ghanaian tomato traders in Titao, a small village in the north of Burkina Faso. Among the dead was Aminu Mohammed, a 39-year-old tomato transporter domiciled in the Oforoko municipality. Aminu left the Ashanti region to embark on what would have been a usual routine, carting tomatoes from Burkina Faso down south of Ghana.
There was one of friend myself, Okosha Lakanti, or Kokwans, Namisu. Into a dubber than a son of friend myself, or could the border no soon see. Obey Remarko, to if you are Oba, Metan and Kanamisu.
I received a call from him on Monday that he's at the border, about to enter the country for goods. I tried reaching out to him on Sunday, Saturday, and even then, but his line was not reachable. I haven't heard from him as at now.
And that was the last time she ever spoke with her husband. Family, friends, and colleagues of Aminu gathered to observe his final rites, but sadly without his mortal remains. His body, together with those caught up in the deadly attack, were bent beyond recognition. I am sad. He used to fend for me, but he is no more now.
From Kumasi, we come to the national capital. The committee set up by the chief of staff to investigate all appointments and recruitments made after 7th December 2024 has recommended that 1,539 out of the total 2,080 recruitments, appointments and promotions be upheld because they complied with the prescribed recruitment and promotion procedures and also received appointment letters before the 7th of December. The committee also recommended recommended, however, that the recruitment, appointments, and promotions of the 541 persons be revoked because the recruitment processes ended after the 7th December date. While speaking at the Government Accountability Series, Government Communications Minister Felix Ofosu-Kwakye said clemency was given to some vulnerable groups and therefore they've been allowed to regularize their processes.
After the hearings, the committee recommended that 1,539 of the recruitments, appointments, and promotions be upheld because they complied with the prescribed recruitment and promotion procedures and received appointment letters before 7 December 2024. And this also implies that they achieved a pass mark of above 80%, or 80% or above, I beg your pardon. The committee recommended, however, that the recruitments, appointments, and promotions of 541 persons be revoked because the recruitment processes ended after 7 December 2024 and failed to meet the pass mark. In other words, they also did not comply with the processes and guidelines slated or designed to govern that process.
Let's go now to Presidential Affairs Correspondent Maxwell Agbagba. Well, Maxwell, what more can you report?
Well, the minister mentioned that based on the terms of reference, the committee developed a checklist of indicators to assess whether the cases and investigation combined with the prescribed process for recruitment, appointment, and promotion. We are told that the documented information requested by the committee included evidence of declaration of vacancy, copy of advertisement, copy of approved scheme of service, copy of technical clearance, copy of financial clearance, copy of interview report, copy of appointment letter, copy of acceptance letter, and copy of payslip when necessary. We also informed that some institutions that appeared before the committee, about 36 different institutions, among them Office of the Administrator General, the Ghana India Compliance Center of Excellence, the Ghana Post Company Limited, Ghana Revenue Authority, Ghana Ports and Harbors Authority, Ghana Shippers Authority, National Health Insurance Authority, and many more.
Thank you very much, Correspondent Maxwell Agbagba. Let's return to the Ayawaso East constituency. And this time round, let's speak to thankfully, we have Gemma back on the line. So this line is very well. Well, Gemma, how are the electoral officials assessing the process so far?
According to the elections have been very smooth and peaceful so far. From all the 15 polling stations have visited so far, the officials tell me that everything has smooth. The party is also very happy about all the election officials.
Gemma, could you reposition yourself? Let's try again.
So, Hannah, I was saying that I've visited over 15 polling stations here at the constituency, and so far the election officials tell me that processes have been smooth and peaceful, even though they complain about the low turnout. They are hopeful that as the day progresses, a lot more people will come to the polling stations to cast their ballots. Just about 50, when you go to some of the polling stations, where they're expecting over 500 people to cast their ballots, 50 people have come here to do so, and they are hopeful that the day progresses, more people will come here to come and pass their ballots. But the security is tight at every police station. A number of police officers have been stationed here to protect the ballot boxes and to also ensure that there is peace and there is security provided. So everything is smooth and peaceful. The election officials say that they complain about the low turnout, but the exercise has so far been peaceful.
Thank you very much, Gemma. This is your election headquarters. We'll bring you more on radio, on TV, and online. Fortunately, we have Stephen also on the line. Stephen Mensah, where have you been and what can you report from there?
So I've been to Alhaji Idrisu House 2. That's the polling station on the Nima Highway. I've also been to the Roman Catholic School, the polling station, one of the polling stations in the Ayawaso East constituency. And I've been engaging some of the candidates, Baba Jamal, and some of the agents also. And they've been talking about their predictions or projections as to imagine victorious in this election. For Baba Jamal, he says all his hopes rest on Allah and that he hopes to win the elections. For the NPP candidates and aspirants we've spoken to, they say yes, they are highly optimistic that they'll be able to give the needed development the Ayawaso East constituency needs once they are given the nod.
That was Stephen Mensah there, bringing us up to date with the elections in the Ayawaso East. Elections, the General Secretary of the Conference of Assisted Secondary Schools, CHAS, Primus Barrow, has disclosed that contrary to Cabinet directive, that a supply of food to secondary schools should be the sole prerogative.
Want consistent color for every job? Milo's Pro Rewards members get a 20% paint discount on future purchases after paint annual qualifying spend reaches $3,000. Plus, order eligible in-stock paint and paint supplies by 2 p.m. for free same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Improving is easy at Lowe's. Excludes spray paint and mist tints. More exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Subject to change. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Same-day delivery valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. Details at Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery.
Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country? And we're conveniently located right by the airport. Start your journey today at columbussubaru.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
Of the schools, their campuses are now inundated with supplies from dozens of food companies. He named the Bafasto Company and Ghana Commodity Exchange as leading suppliers of the food items. Primus Barrow, who is also the headmaster of Laura Senior High School, made a statement at the school's speech and prize giving day. Join us as Upper West Regional Correspondent Rafiq Salam reports.
Laura Senior High School, Primus Barrow, who also doubles as the General Secretary of Conference of Heads of Assisted Secondary Schools, CHAS, was commending the government for increasing the food quantity and quality supplied to schools, which he said has put a lid to the perennial cry of food shortages from various headmasters. The General Secretary of CHAS, however, is deeply worried about the flouting of cabinet directive to revert food supplies to the schools.
CHAS is definitely taking steps to seek clarity on the issue at a high level if the issue is not resolved at the ministerial level. Hence, heads are worried because as we talk, Buffer Stock and Ghana Commodity Exchange are busy supplying items to school at the instance of the Free Senior High School Secretariat and Get Farm. What makes the issue even dicey is the fact that schools don't even know the basis upon which various quantities of food are being supplied to each school. This arrangement is definitely going to come along with very foreseeable challenges in the near future. There is no clear-cut communication as to the duration which these foods are being supplied will cover. Heads are afraid that they will be accused of being oversupplied in the coming days.
He also used the opportunity to draw the attention of government to some arrears in respect of food supplies, particularly perishable products, for payments.
Schools are equally owed monies for perishables for the period October 17th, 26th to November 19th, December, as well as money meant for food procured for the period 17th November to 19th December. We are equally owed recurring fees for the first semester of the 2026 academic year. All these aside, the legacy debt owes schools in respect of perishables spanning from 2021 to 2024 is still hanging heavily on our necks.
Reporting for J News, Rafiq Salam, Laura.
And that's where we take a short breather. When we come back, uncontrollable tears of joy and scenes of jubilation as friends, loved ones, and members of Heaven's Way International Ministry celebrate the release of Patricia Isiama, popularly known as Agrada, from prison. Yeah, welcome back, and it's sports.
Andre Ayew has not played for the Black Stars of Ghana since Otuadu returned as head coach in February 2024. But that could change, according to Sports Minister Kofi Adams, who cites Andre Ayew's return to action at that side, NAC Breda, as his reason.
Well, I think he's speaking up also. Once he hasn't retired from international football, I will not be surprised, But that is the coach's responsibility. I'm convinced we will do well.
Kofi Adams was speaking on Adom FM. Andre Ayew was inactive from May to December last year, but has made 8 appearances since joining the Dutch side, Breda.
Thank you very much, Achu. There was jubilation, prayers and tears of joy filling the home and church of Evangelist Patricia Siama, popularly known as Nana Agrada, after she was released from prison earlier today. The members of Heaven's Way International Ministry could not hold back as drummers in the church played sounds for them to rejoice. With some rolling on the floor to lifted arms, they thanked God for their founder's release.
15 years.
Well, I was at the church yesterday to gauge the mood as they prepared for her release, and this is what I found.
With each stroke of brush, the outer auditorium of the Heaven Way Chapel International Ministries gradually blossomed, the workers feverishly transforming the faded colored blue and white walls with new paint. The arrival of founder of the church, Evangelist Patricia Isiama, is just hours away. And she will indeed be welcomed in grand style. That's according to the church members who declined speaking for now. They are fixing broken roofs, non-functional electricals, rearranging wall hangings, and cleaning the ruling carpeted floors. It shall be a glorious celebration when Patricia Isiama walks in here after her release. For Joy News, I am Hannah Odame.
That release was today, and Joy News editor Fred Smith joins me in the studio with more of this. So, Fred, we've seen several videos of Nana Agrada and since her release. Describe her mood for us.
Well, very sober, I must say. She is clothed in long white apparel, tied her hair with a white scarf, and she's seen holding a shawl in one arm and a black leather Bible in the other. There's another video of her getting into an auditorium, pacing behind the altar and then kneeling down with her forehead on the carpet. Then she raises her head and lifts both hands up, obviously in appreciation to God. She didn't say much in any of the videos, but then she sang when the microphones got closer to her.
Thank you very much, Fred Smith Day. Now, charcoal has long been part of how we cook, trade, and survive in Ghana. For many households, it remains affordable and accessible. But as climate pressures grow and forests decline, attention is turning to how this trusted fuel can be produced and used more sustainably. In this episode of Climate Evidence, Benedicta Ya Asamoah introduces us to the concept of climate smart charcoal and what it could mean for livelihoods as well as the environment.
In many Ghanaian communities, resilience begins with leadership. These voices hold trust, and when they are involved, energy solutions take root.
We are accustomed to using charcoal. LPG is often perceived as dangerous, largely because there has been little education on its proper use. With adequate education and awareness, this fear can be reduced. We can adapt to LPG, cut down our dependence on charcoal, and in the process protect our trees and the environment.
But too often, projects arrive without listening to them. Solar lamps lie broken. LPG stoves gather dust. and clean cook stoves are abandoned.
Known for its lush landscapes, rolling hills, and serene natural environment, Ghana's eastern region is fast becoming a preferred destination for travelers seeking rest beyond the capital. With growing interest in short domestic getaways, the region is attracting attention as a hub for ecotourism and weekend travel. As part of Joy 99.7 FM's special series ahead of the Joy Safari Experience 2026, Noella Iyali explores why some Ghanaians are rediscovering the eastern region.
Morning in Accra moves quickly. Deadlines, traffic lights, endless motion. But just a few hours away, the rhythm changes completely. As the road climbs toward Ghana's eastern region, the air grows cooler, the noise softens, and the landscape slowly replaces concrete with green. Long known for its mountains, forests, and calm natural settings, the eastern region is quietly emerging as one of Ghana's most attractive ecotourism destinations. Increasingly, travelers are choosing shorter escape destinations close enough for weekend travel, yet distant enough to offer true rest. From scenic landscapes and outdoor adventure experiences to nature-centered resorts designed around sustainability, the region is redefining how Ghanaians experience leisure within their own country. And it is this growing culture of intentional local travel that informs Joy 99.7 FM's upcoming Joy Safari Experience 2026. Scheduled for March 20 to 21 at Safari Valley Resort, the initiative invites participants to experience firsthand the tranquility, adventure, and ecological beauty that continue to position the eastern region as a leading tourism destination. Because sometimes the perfect escape is